This is live radio. Senator, you there?
I'm here, Scott. Okay. little phone trouble this morning.
Yeah, really? Okay. It was after the rain had already gone through. The lights just failed on the phone. But anyhow, appreciate you spending some time with us. We're going to finish on time. Is that right?
I think so. That's a great success. You know, we've had special sessions for the last two sessions, for sure, that I've been in the legislature. And, I'm glad we've all come to a resolution on some of the major issues and a path forward for the people of Texas. And I'm glad we're going to get out of here on time.
Now, while I've got you on the phone, let me say, are you available next week for us to do a final wrap up? Or are you
sure?
Okay,
I'll be able to do it.
Okay, good. Then we'll get with your office and make arrangements there. I guess let's go back to the open carry, campus carry situation, because that really has been in a state of flux this week.
It has. Both bills are in conference committee, and there are provisions of both bills that are disagreements between the House and the Senate. I have concerns that if the resolution isn't found out and a path forward chosen, that we could wind up with a filibuster on the last day regarding those bills, at least on the Senate side.
Well, and certainly I could understand law enforcement was concerned about the situation. They felt like they needed to be able to at least come forward and ask a person to show their permit if they are doing open carry. Makes sense. How did you feel on that? How did you vote on that?
Well, there's concern that if a law enforcement individual could come forward and just because a person, a citizen, is carrying a firearm in a legal manner and does not, and the law enforcement officer doesn't have probable cause, just to ask them, why are you carrying a firearm, or what are you doing, or where are you going? That's kind of strikes at the against the Fourth Amendment, which is again the constitutional, U.S. constitutional amendment against illegal search and seizure.
Mm-hmm.
So I have real concerns that that might be an overreach. So my vote was in support of Senator Huffine's amendment that would have prohibited law enforcement personnel from asking individuals without probable cause, why are they carrying a firearm? What are they doing? I think that strikes at profiling, and I didn't like that.
Well, I appreciate you explaining that because, again, as they say, politics makes strange bedfellows.
It does. Far right and the far left came together regarding that issue.
One of the things I can continue to also see is that there's a little bit of battle when it comes to ethics. Dark money, as I understand that, if somebody gives to a nonprofit, they don't have to necessarily give that information, but that nonprofit may decide to use that money for or against individual candidates. Is that basically the definition of dark money in this case?
That's correct, yes.
So what is your feeling on this? Because obviously the Senate and the House have not been able to get together on this
right.
issue.
That's another bill, the ethics bill that's in conference committee. And the House put on that amendment that would limit the utilization of dark money. I believe it's an issue that I think money is in a lot of ways the ability to express your opinion and speech. And I'd like to see that amendment actually taken off and that the Senate version of the ethics bill go forward. So I'm in support of Senator Van Taylor's ethics bill as it left the Senate. I think elected officials should be held to a higher standard. We certainly put ourselves out there to be judged by the people that we're serving. And there are a lot of good components of the ethics bill that I think both sides, the House and the Senate, agree upon, such as preventing lawmakers from immediately becoming lobbyists and preventing convicted felons from serving in public office. But there are some small issues between the House and the Senate version that do need to get ironed out.
Senator Charles Werner joining us this morning from Austin. You had been a champion carrying one bill, and I guess there were almost 11 of them, that had something to do with a cap on tuition. Now it looks like these have all died. Can you tell me what went on that happened?
Well, Scott, if you look back 6 or 8 months ago, no one was talking about affordability in higher education and the fairly fast rate of growth in tuition and fees. So I would say that we've had a significant success and movement forward because everybody is aware of how fast tuition and fees are increasing at our institutions of higher education and how that, again, is pushing out students that want to obtain the dream of a college education and middle-class families that want to send their children to public institutions. And this is an issue I'm going to continue to fight for. We made significant progress. I was able to amend certain bills regarding putting limits on how much institutions of public education can raise tuition and fees. And so there were successes, but it's an issue that will need to continue to be addressed, and I look forward to doing so next session.
Well, yeah, and I suppose you've given the responsibility again to the boards of regents, saying we're watching you, and if you want to give us more
cannon
fodder.
I think the message has been received loud and clear that the legislature is aware and interested in making sure that we have an educated workforce to supply the needs of the Texas economy in the future, and that educated workforce is dependent upon affordable access to higher education.
Certainly. Surprised, at least to me, that a texting bill, which was sponsored in the House by the former Speaker of the House, did not see the light of day. What are your thoughts there, and how did you vote for it?
Well, it never actually came up to a vote on the Senate side. It passed the House and got stymied in the Senate. And, you know, I'm on record against a texting ban. I think that's it's kind of against our personal liberties and freedoms, and it's kind of a slippery slope about what else are we going to start banning about individuals that are driving vehicles. Is it against the law to drink a cup of coffee or change the radio or eat a hamburger in the car? I mean, it's an issue that I feel is a slippery slope and was not in favor of a texting ban as proposed by Speaker Craddock.
Certainly, well, I certainly don't like, obviously, the onus of enforcement that law enforcement would have
to
deal with.
And that's the other issue, is that it'd be very difficult to really enforce that law.
Certainly.
Would allow for, it'd be difficult for law enforcement personnel to really be able to discern a texting situation versus, for instance, navigation or some other use of the phone.
Now, it wasn't all negative. Obviously, the Senate yesterday, you plugged in another $570 million to take care of the teacher retirement. You figured that was probably going to happen, but you did actually take that step.
We did a lot of good things. Yeah. Not only teacher retirement system, we helped fund their health issues, health pension issues, and also ERS, their pension issues. So we put a lot of money toward critical infrastructure needs of the state of Texas. And we're going to have a balanced budget that growing at the rate below population inflation. So I'm pleased overall with the successes of this session.
Anything else specifically that you're going to take up today that we haven't talked about?
Well, the budget, the final version of the budget, the concurrence is occurring today. So after that occurs at 10 o'clock today, the budget is sealed and done and going to the governor's desk. So that's the last major step of the budgetary process. And as someone that's been intricately involved in it, I'm pleased with the final product, and I'm glad to see it done.
Well, I know you are, and I know there probably were plenty of tense minutes you'll spend a lot of time on that. All right, then, I guess next week, fingers crossed, we'll be able to talk about the final wrap-up of the session and talk about the pluses and minuses when it comes to that.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate your time today.
You bet. State Senator Charles Horner joins us every week while Congress is in session, or the House is in session, and Senate's in session. And you can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com.